Proverbs chapter number 8, verse number 17 is where we'll start. This is one of my favorite chapters in all of the Bible, and for many different reasons. I love verse number 34, and we won't read from that text, but it says, "Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors," and to think about the goodness that comes to a man who sits and waits at God's doors waiting for a word, just wanting to hear from God. And I just want to say tonight, many of us have faced, had a daunting day, and we're tired. We got some young people in here, and y'all probably feel a little bit indifferent, but the Bible says you'll be blessed if you'll stand at His gates and just listen for a word. It won't come from me, but my prayer is that it will come from God. Verse number 17 is where we'll start reading our text. It says, "I love them that love me." Amen. We could just preach on that, but what a beautiful, beautiful thought. I love them that love me. You know, God desires that we love Him. Yes, sir. And you know, love's an action. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Love's not just... You know, you can't go home to your wife or tell your friends you love them and act as if you don't. Love requires some action. And it says, "I love them that love me and those that seek me early shall," say shall "find me. Riches and honor are with me." So he's saying, when you find me, here's what you find with it. Here are the benefits that come with finding me. Riches and honor are with me. Yea, durable riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold. And my revenue than choice silver. I lead in the way of righteousness and in the midst of the paths of judgment, that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance. And I will fill their treasures. The Lord, watch this. You think, who is this passage talking about? You look in the book of Proverbs, and when you read through the passage, it talks about wisdom and understanding and seeking it as silver. And then you look here in verse number 22, and the Bible's going to tell you exactly who those verses were talking about. Who is it that I'm looking for? Who is it that I'm trying to find? And who is the one where I'm going to find treasures and I'm going to find blessings and I'm going to find substance in a path of righteousness and judgment? Watch, it says, the Bible will explain and define itself. Watch. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of His way, before His works of old. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning or ever the earth was. Who is that talking about? Anybody? That sound like Jesus to you? So when we read verse number 17, it says, "I love them that love me." It's talking about Jesus. Jesus is speaking to us from the book of Proverbs, and He's saying, "I love them that love me." But this passage I want to focus on, the second part of that verse, "and those that seek me early shall find me." I want to preach on this thought. Somebody, go find God. Somebody, go find God. And by way of introduction, I was thinking about this passage of Scripture. And when Pastor Kevin asked me to preach, I think about our church and where our church is at. And we've come through some difficult times as of late, some tumultuous times, some different seasons that we've been through. And I got to think, our church right now is in a pretty good place. We've got some people that love God. We got some people that want to serve God and live for God, and they want to have a part in the ministry. And in the children's church, we've got some people that are stepping out on faith and just seeing what all God might be able to do with my life. And they don't feel equipped, but they are feeling willing to be able to go further in their faith in order to please God and to serve God in the ministry at Independent Baptist Church. I mean, we got people doing security and doing a great job. We got people running the bus, doing a fantastic job. We got people doing RU We got people doing nursery, and we got people that are singing, and we got people that are taking up the offering and cleaning, and we got people that are cooking, and we got people that are putting together meals and taking care of the pantry, and we got people that are coming here and putting up security cameras and shoveling the snow off the sidewalks and coming and checking out the new building and seeing if everything's going well. I mean, we got all kinds of things going on. People teaching, people preaching. We are serving God at Independent Baptist Church, and may I say that we're serving Him freely and with some liberty at this point in time. I mean, all that God is doing, and I just feel like God is opening the door to our church and inviting us to see all that He can do. What more can He do? Because I believe that God is just getting started at Independent Baptist Church. I believe we have just tasted of the glories that He has in store for our church. I believe that we're just tasting of the glories that He has in store for you and your family and in your marriage and you personally in your walk with Christ. I believe we are just on the cusp of all that God wants to do in our lives. But I speak from personal experience that I've lived in the golden days, I feel like, of this church, Brother Warren. And man, I remember standing back there at the sound booth, Brother Ron, and we said, we need to get some young people in this church. And right there, we just kind of started just a thought and a just birthed a burden for the Lord to have some young adults in our church to breathe some new life, because we had a great population of older people, wisdom and understanding and that we could glean from. Because when you have that in a church, you need some young people that can get up behind a Brother Don and a Brother Dude and a Sister Kelly and some of these folks that have been here for a long time and learn from them and watch them walk with God and watch them serve God. And not only that, so we can serve God as young people together and put some strength behind this church and put some strength behind this vision and put some fire and some passion and sometimes maybe some stupidity behind the vision, and to serve God together. And I've watched God do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. We've got some young people that love God, that serve God hard, and want to be a blessing. Man, I've lived in these golden years and golden years of my faith, but there's been some times, Brother Trey, where I was trying to lead people on the bus and in my youth group and my family and my friends. I was trying to lead people to a God that I could not find. And I was trying to tell them, Brother Don, about a God that I did not know. You see, what I found is that if I lose God, then it doesn't matter what I do in the ministry. It doesn't matter how good my Sunday school lessons are, and it doesn't matter how good my preaching is, and it doesn't matter how many times I fire up that engine and run the bus all around Louisville. It doesn't matter how much effort that I put into RU. It does not matter if I lose God. If I don't have Him, my ministry and my life, and none of that means anything. In fact, if I lose Him, all of my purpose, all the joy that I found in it will be gone. So are you trying to lead people to a God that you haven't found yourself in a while? I'm not saying you've never found Him, but what I'm saying is somewhere in the middle of the distractions and somewhere in the middle of the chaos and you being exhausted and you being tired and having to work and to make money and rush to church and try to put a lesson together and you're doing more than you ever thought you could for God, but maybe you're getting a little bit tired, and somewhere along the way you haven't found enough time to go and seek God. You go and seek the one that got you here. To seek the one that put you in this place. To seek the one that called you to the ministry. To seek the one that brought you that wife. And seek the one that got you that husband. I mean, to seek the one that made it all happen. The reason why you're here, to find Him again. And the pastor preached about being in the awe of God. And I got to thinking, I can't even be in awe of Him. I haven't been in His presence in a long time. Been a long time since I've even been around Him. I didn't say come to church, because many of us have been into church and we felt 1,000 miles away from God. And if that is you, you're the next one that'll go. You're the next one that'll quit. You're the next one that'll walk away. And it doesn't have to be because you have something against this church, but you'll say, I'm tired, and I just need to go to another place where I can rest. But can I say that it is possible to serve God more and to be a better leader and to grow in your faith in this church and to do the ministries that we have, as hard as they may be and as much time as they require, you can do them with joy, with peace in your heart, and with fulfillment and happiness. You can do them as long as you have Him. There's been times when I had no strength left in me. When my family was exhausted, when I was exhausted, when I felt like I had nothing left. You say, what'd you do? Well, sometimes, and I tell our young people that sometimes you got to cut some things off and trust God that He's going to fill it with somebody else to do it. Sometimes you just need to take a break. But you don't just do it. See, that's the problem is what people do. So I'm going to take a break, I'm going to cut some things off. But you didn't fill that gap with what was missing. Oh, I'll just go over here to church and I'll just lay down my ministry and I'll just do this. And then you don't go to church. Then you don't. Oh, yeah, that's what happened. That's what. I'm just going to lay this down. I'm tired. Well, then fill that space with going and finding God so that you can refresh yourself, so you can re-energize yourself and take hold of the mantle God has given you to go and make a difference in this world. Don't lay down your mantle and then neglect to go seek your Savior. Somebody's got to go find God, because I have a feeling tonight, Lord, lay this mess in my heart, that there's some people, you're serving God. I believe everybody in here, I'm looking around, everybody in here, they've got something that they are putting their hand to at Lynn Independent Baptist Church. And no doubt every single one of you at times think, boy, I'm doing a lot here. I feel like I'm a little overwhelmed. I feel like this might be a little bit much. I feel like I don't know where to go, and I feel like I'm incapable, and I feel like I don't have the resources. Well, I'm going to give you a message tonight to help you grab hold of what God has called you to do and to be able to continue on for the glory of God. You say, what do I got to do? Go find God. Go find Him. He's the one with the answers. He's the one that strengthens you. He's the one with the blessings. He's the one that can make you able to do more than you ever thought that you could do. And I'm not just talking about serving. Because here's what I believe. And it was in our meeting at work. And we talk a lot about leadership at work. Because leadership is important. Some of you are going to serve, and you're good at it. You're good at serving. But there are some of you in here who God wants to mold you into a leader that can teach and help other people serve. Yeah. Yeah. That God has more for you than just to reach and grab and push. So as I preach this message, let me just say to everybody in here, you are capable more than what you think you are. I believe I can say this without doing any disservice to God. In fact, I think it glorifies Him that God has more for your life than you could possibly plan or imagine. Whenever I was serving in this church at first, I wasn't called to preach, nor did I think God would ever call someone like me to preach, but He called me to preach. Never did I think that I could sing or would even try to sing in front of people. Next thing you know, pastor's saying, why don't you lead song leading? I didn't want to do none of that. I didn't want to preach at no nursing home. I didn't want to sing no congregationals. I didn't want to do none of that. Next thing you know, my wife, of course, like, hey, why don't you sing a solo? And I know y'all don't like that, but she would ask me to do it, and I still try to step out on faith. Hey, why don't you do story time in VBS? I'm not good with kids. I don't think the kids will like me doing story time, but Lord, if that's what you want me to do, here, let me take a step of faith. Let's just go see what God can do in my life. And what I found out, Brother Don, is that everything that I thought about myself, God thought more. God had more planned than what I had planned. God said, you have more that you can do for the glory of God than you even think you're capable of, Brother J.R. Don't sell yourself short, because you got a God living on the inside of you that could take you a long, long way. Somebody's got to go find God. Let's look at this verse of Scripture, at this word that stands out to me. It says, "And those that seek me," what? Early. I was reading that, and I've always thought, get up early in the morning and seek Him. And I believe that's a good practice, okay? Because when I read you the definition of early, if you do wake up early in the morning and do it, then you're doing the definition. So the word early means this. I love that. I was just like, I wanted to look it up and see what it said. I thought it was going to say, rise up in the morning at this time and just. No, this is what it says. Watch. It says, in advance of something else. Prior in time. Watch. The second definition says, first. First. Being at the beginning. As early dawn. So you know what that word early means? It says, and those that seek me first. Those that seek me first shall find me. And I was thinking about that passage of Scripture, and I got to thinking, you know what that means? But Ryan, that means that before anything else, go find God. Before you do anything else, before you go anywhere else, before you accomplish anything else, go find God. Young people, that means before you figure out what you're going to do with your future, young people, look at me, before you figure out who you're going to marry, before you figure out what job you're going to do, before you figure out if you're going to go to the military, before you figure out how you're going to live your life and what standards you're going to go hold, go find God first. Where am I going to live? Who am I going to marry? What job am I going to take? Am I going to do this ministry? Can I do that? Will I do that? Go find God. Yeah. Am I going to quit? Am I going to leave the church? Am I going to go somewhere else? Go find God first. Yeah. Not later. Not after the fact. Yeah. Not when you've done all that you can do. Go get God first. Then do what God wants you to do. Go get Him first. Well, what should I do? How should I serve? What gifts do I have? Lord, where would you like me to serve in the ministry? Go find God first. He will tell you. What am I going to do in my marriage? What am I going to do about mental health? What am I going to do about my emotional state? What am I going to do about my money? What am I going to do about my ministry? What am I going to do about all these things that I'm not able to do? Go find God first. First. Before anything else. See, that's what we try to do, is we try to figure everything else out. Then we'll go try to find God and check in on God. Hey, God, everything good over here? You should have went to God first. Before all of that. Before you did that, you should have went and found God, not come back to God and said, God, you cool with that? God's like, does it matter? Why didn't you come and talk to me first? Before everything else, not after. Watch. There's one requirement. One requirement in this verse for finding God. Seek Him first. You don't got to put money in the offering plate. You don't got to lift your hands. You don't got to shout. You don't have to serve your time in the ministry before you find God. You don't have to read 3 pages in your Bible for 20 minutes. You don't have to pray for an hour. You don't have to do all those things to find God. God just says, I just want you to look for me before anything else. He said, you'll find me if you just seek me early. Seek me first. In advance of anything you do, anything you say, anything you think, any ministry you take on, seek me first. Don't look at me funny, sir. You know he's been last for a while. You know you put God in the back seat months ago. You put God in the back seat months ago. Why is my marriage falling apart? Why don't I worship like I used to worship? Why don't I have a burden for the ministry like I used to have? Why am I exhausted? Why am I tired? Why do I feel like I can't go on? Put God back in first place in your life. Why is he in the back seat? He's the one that got you where you're at. He's the one that gave you all that you had. Every blessing that you have has came straight from his throne room. And here you are sitting in a pew and you put the God who gave it all to you in the back. The happiest people that I know put God first in everything. They put God before all their thoughts and preconceived. No, let me just. Before you have a bright idea, or you have a position on Scripture, before you look at something in the church and you say, well, I don't like this, and I don't like that, and we do this, and we ain't doing enough for this, put God first. Go find him first before you open your mouth. Ask God if it's a big deal. Ask God if it matters. Ask God if you should even talk it. If you should even speak it. Ask God. Go to him first. Seek him first. It'll save you a lot of trouble. Amen. The happiest people I know, the people with the most joy, they got a pep in their step. They got a smile on their face. Their cup is full whenever they show up to church. I mean, those are the people I'm like, man, look. Some of us have not grown in our walk with the Lord, and it shows. It shows. You can tell when you encounter somebody in this church and you embrace them with a hug, or you walk by them in the hallway and say good morning, you can tell if they are in a desperate search for God or not. Oh, yeah, I've seen some people, and there's some examples that I mean, think about this. And Pastor talks about this. He says, when the altars get filled up, the altars are full. If you would just peek down at the altar, while you're not going to the altar. I'm a smart aleck preacher, I'm sorry. If you peek down at the altar, look at who's at the altar. Look who goes to the altar on Sunday mornings. Look who's looking for God. You say, who is it? It's the people that don't have nothing but him. That have a freshness about God and a freshness about this church and excitement about this church. They're the ones at the altar seeking him first. And many of those people that have been coming to our church for a long time, you get around Marcus Anderson, you get around Mike, you get around some of these folks and Greg and different people that you walk around this church that are at this altar all the time seeking God first. It's always a smile. It's always a hug. It's always positive. They don't even got nothing. Some of them are out in the cold tonight. We had to walk from our car to the cold. They're sleeping in it. But yet joy permeates their faces. The most faithful people I know, the most persevering people, the people that can get through the toughest stuff are the people that seek God first. By God, every once in a while when you go through something, it shouldn't turn your smile upside down. Every once in a while, you should be able to persevere and seek God in your trial and to find peace, hope, and joy in it. There's some people here tonight that have got some news this week. Their life's turned upside down, if not but for a moment. But yet here you are. people that seek God first, they persevere. They find joy in the hardest of times. They're the most patient. People that are seeking God first. God's a patient God. If you're an impatient person, something you lost him somewhere. You lost him. They're the most loving people. Your Christian experience and service without Jesus, without him, if you lose him or if you have lost him, you have found your Christian service and experience to be empty, meaningless, and mechanical. Not always because you're doing too much. Sometimes it can be that you're doing too much. And we should all run to each other's rescue and see when that happens. But sometimes it's just because you've lost Jesus in the middle of the fight. And instead of pursuing more and doing more and just taking a break, maybe just set out on a journey to find him. Just set out on a journey to find God in the middle of it all. And if you can find him in the middle of the war, in the middle of the battle, you'll start to see yourself winning again. You'll start to see yourself overcoming again. You'll start to see some of your enemies fall. You'll start to see some of those things that were coming up against you start to fade into the background. Why do we need to do this? Well, if you look in the passage of Scripture, it says that substance comes from him. I don't know how to explain all of God's provisions in my life, but I have found that I didn't have to do more at my job to get more of his blessings. I found that if I just get a hold of him, if I can wrap my arms around him, all of that stuff comes naturally. Watch. He says, riches and honor are with me. He said, riches and honor are right there with me. If you find him, you find riches and honor. So why should we go find God? Because with him are all the benefits that we're after. Everything that you want, everything that you're seeking out there, that you're scratching and clawing to find, that you are praying desperately would happen, are found at his feet and not out in the world. All you got to do is get a hold of him and you'll get a hold of all the things that you're wanting. Listen. Every time that I get a hold of God, I don't find that I have less. I find that I have more. Isn't it a simple concept? But man, we are so stiff-necked. And we are so hard-headed. Me included. I have to remind myself of this stuff all the time. I'm like, God, you are the answer. You're the one that I trust in. You're the one that I go to get all these things that I'm stressing about getting. And all I've got to do is get to you, seek you first, and I get them all anyway. Instead of having 15 pursuits out here to fix your marriage, make more money, get a better car, get a better house, and to put all your efforts into that, why don't you put all your efforts into seeking God and finding him and watch him add all those things to you? Say, how can he do that? He said all those things are in his presence. They are with him. So if you get to him, you're going to bump into some riches. You're going to bump into some honor. You're going to bump into some substance. You're going to bump into some righteousness. You're going to bump into some judgment. You're going to bump into some silver, some gold. Yay, fine gold. Amen. Just get to him, you'll bump into those things. But there's substance. But I was reading that passage of Scripture, and I was reading all the benefits, and I got excited. But then the Lord took me back up the page. He took me back up the page. And I remember I put substance first. Why do I need to find God? Because of substance. Look at all the things that I get. But look at the first thing you get. It says, and those that seek me early shall find me. And I got to thinking, man, I'm glad for all the things that God give me. I'm glad. But I've gotten so bogged down with the things that God gives that I forgot all about the one who gave them. And I remember there were some times in the dark when it didn't matter what car I drove, Brother Will. When my dad died and my cousin died and when my grandpa died and all the things that you go through in life and your marriage and with kids and all the stresses and stuff. And I've been in some dark times, some times where I didn't know what to do. It wasn't the substance that made my heart beat. It wasn't the substance that endeared me to the Lord. It was that He was my friend. It was that I had a companion when nobody else was around. You say, well, I feel alone. If you're alone, just mark my words. God can put a special anointing on your life like He did Brother Paul. Brother Paul was alone for a long time. Every man that was in the Bible that was alone for a long period of time, God used them in a special way because they used that alone time to find a companion in Him. They didn't use it for a time to feel sorry for themselves and to get twisted up, but they used it for a time to go and find God. I don't have nobody else. I don't have a friend. I don't have a girlfriend. I don't have a boyfriend. I don't have a husband. But I sure got a God that I can go and find a friend in Him. Why? Why do you want to go find God? Because when you get there, you get Him. Because when you get there, you get to be with the Savior of the world, the one that bled and died and gave His life, a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, one that can heal your broken heart when nothing else can, one that can be a friend when no one else will, one that will be there for you when nobody shows up at your door. Man, there's been times when He's made my heart sing and there wasn't a song to be heard. Why? Because you get Him. I'm not talking about just being saved. Because all I need to know is I'm just saved and going to heaven. You ain't going to live a prosperous Christian life just knowing you're saved. I want to know some things about God. I want to know some things about His promises. I want to know some things about a friend that I have in Him. I want to know some things about God that go beyond. I'm going to heaven when I die so I can lift up my hands and give a testimony of all that God has done and all that He is and all that He's been to me. When's the last time you just had a story to tell? Man, God was a blessing here. You lost God a long time ago and you ain't had nothing to say about Him because you ain't been in His presence in a while, have you? Being in His presence isn't just doing things. Just doing RU and doing security and doing the bus and doing the nursery. No. No. If you're going to go find God, you're going to have to go find God on your own. Your wife can't find Him for you. Your husband can't find Him for you. Your pastor can't find Him for you. Sure, people can nudge you and lead you there. But I'm afraid some of you may even be past nudging. That I can't nudge you, but God's going to have to put the pressure on you to get the diamond that He wants out. Some heat and some pressure. But let's look real quick at some things that you can do to seek God. We know these. Study. When's the last time you got in this Bible and got a word from God? When's the last time you opened up this book and you found God in the book? Where you said, I don't know where to go. I don't know what to do. God, I need a word. My marriage is falling apart. I'm exhausted and I'm tired. I have anxiety and I have depression. I feel alone and I don't know where to go. God, give me a word. When's the last time you stood up and testified in church and said, I was at a crossroads and I opened up my Bible and God gave me a verse and here's what it said. Do you still love to hear preaching and teaching? Man, whenever I got right with God, I loved Sunday school. I couldn't wait to go to Sunday school. I cut my teeth in Sunday school. Amen. Just whatever I could do, whatever preaching I could hear. I mean, when you wake up in the morning, do you just put on anything else and put it in your ears? Or do you listen to preaching? Do you listen to singing? What do you do? What do you do to go seeking and finding God in your alone time? And when you plug your headphones in, are you looking for God? Or are you looking for a nice word from the world? Study. Supplication. When's the last time you just got alone with God and said, "Oh God, oh God, you're worthy, and I don't know what to do"? Where you felt His presence in your alone time. Where you stopped everything that was going on around you and you said, "I'm going to go find God somewhere in my prayer closet." Yeah. What about in a song? When's the last time you turned off some of that music and put on some good gospel worship music and found Him in a song? Where you cut your TikTok off and cut your Facebook off and read your Bible and listen to a song and let God's presence fill the room, and you find yourself in worship somewhere outside of church. When's the last time? Has it been a while that you got in the car and you put on a song and tried to find God in your car on the way to work? What about in the stories? Have you spent any time reminiscing on all that God has done? Finding God in your past so you could drag Him into your present and remember all the things that God has done. We all have stories of the places that God has gone and found us, and the backslidden conditions that we've been in even after we got saved, and how we have neglected all the glories that He had in store for us, and we pursued this world, but God still took us back, and then we did it again, and He took us back, and here you are, and now you have the opportunity to reminisce on the times that God has taken you back and come to an altar tonight and say, "God, would you take me back again?" I'm going to use an illustration. Some of y'all probably make you uncomfortable, but it's a good illustration, okay? So there's this game. Now y'all just calm down. I'm not promoting this particular game, but it's called Quidditch. Y'all know what that is from Harry Potter. I'm not promoting it, just saying. This is a great illustration. So here's the game. In this game, there's a lot going on as far as throwing a ball around, trying to score a ball. There's a lot going on, right? But in the middle of all this going on, there's a person called a seeker, okay? And the seeker's job is to go and find this one small flying golden ball called a snitch. It's a weird name, anyway. In the midst of all that is going on, Brother Ryan, I thought, man, that is the stupidest game I've ever heard in my life. Because what happens is that in the middle of everything going on around the seeker looking for the snitch, you can score points. But the person that's looking for the snitch, if he finds the snitch and grabs it, the game's over. And I got to think, man, what are all the other people doing? What's all these other people doing? Flying around, scoring points. Because if the seeker finds the snitch, the game's over. And what's all this other stuff going on? And I was thinking about that when I was thinking about seeking Jesus. And here's this seeker trying to find this valuable object that seems to be elusive but can be found if he wants it with all his heart and pursues it with all his heart. And if he grabs that snitch, it didn't matter what everybody else was doing. It didn't matter what all the points and the riches and the things, all the applause that was going on around them in the meantime. It didn't matter how much chaos and how much. It just didn't matter because the seeker found the snitch. You see, it doesn't matter everything that's going on around you and all the chaos and all the riches and what's happening in the government and what's happening at the job and who's doing what and who's going where. If there is somebody here that is willing to go out and find what's actually valuable, what actually wins you the game, what actually does for you what you seek, it's to go and find the Lord Jesus Christ in your life. He's the one that matters. If you find him, that's the game. That's what it's all about. That's what matters. That's what you want. If you find him, you've got everything that you need to win at this thing called life and your walk with Christ. That's all you got to do, Brother Ryan. Just go find him. Him, if you want to come. I believe everybody in here that's saved would say those verses that follow verse 17 about riches and honor and gold, you would say that in his presence I found all those things. You would say in his presence I have found a friend. I have found someone beautiful and wonderful. And there's probably someone here would say that it's been a long time since I found him. It's been a long time since I felt like I had the riches and the honor that's spoken about in Proverbs, where I actually had him in my presence. I had Jesus in my grasp. And if you would be honest and tender-hearted tonight, you would say, man, I desperately need him in my marriage. I desperately need him in my ministry. Emotionally, I'm a wreck. I'm tired. I'm exhausted. I don't know if I'm able. I don't know the answers. I don't know what job to take. I don't know what to do about my finances. I don't know what to do about my health. I don't know what to do about my family and everything that's going on. If you'd be honest, you'd say, man, I really need to find God tonight. I need to find him. And if I find him, you know that everything that you're searching and seeking for, it's found in him anyhow. So you don't got to put together a plan out there. Just come to the altar and find him here. Let's all stand. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, God, I pray you take this message tonight. God, and use it for your honor and your glory. And God, I pray you'd help me to find you. And God, I want you first in my life, because I found that when you're first, God, you're right there. So I pray you'd help thy people, Lord, with the message that's preached. In Jesus' name.